Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Sports Talk run until 7 o'clock tonight, and that's when Thursday Night Football takes over between the Browns and Steelers. You can catch that right here also on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Right now, we're going to get to a little college football talk. For that, we welcome in Chris Lowe, ESPN senior college football writer. How you been doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. It's always good to be with you gentlemen.
Chris, listen, before I ask you a football question, I can get this confirmed. Ms. Coco said if you want to come back down to Louisiana, she's willing to cook for you.
only if she cooks her, she makes her gumbo, and that's her world-famous fried shrimp. Tell her I'm there on the nation's wife.
Yeah, man, she best shrimp boulets, man, you'd ever eat in your life. No, I'm telling you. You could ask Chris. Man, that's good eating with Ms. Coco Cook. Chris, I'll let you know next time. How surprising is it, Chris, this far into the season, and you see all these teams in the SEC sort of all stacked up, and they're going to have a couple teams left out. I mean, you can't take everybody in that final 12. I would think at the most four at this stage and see how it rolls. You know they're not going to let Texas and Georgia and Alabama out of there. I think the roll will be, do they take Ole Miss or Texas A&M at this, you know, particular juncture? But that would mean Tennessee, I think, would get left out. So your thoughts on how it's played out this season in the SEC?
Yeah, Mike, I think the way to get to five teams is if Notre Dame loses to Army or SC next week in Los Angeles. I mean, that would open up a spot. Notre Dame will not get in if they lose another game. I'm pretty confident of that. And that would open up another spot, which I think would be one of those two lost SEC teams. I mean, I'll be honest, man. I thought the SEC the last, I don't know, 7-8 years, as good as it was and as many times as it produced the national champion, sometimes two teams in the playoff or two teams playing each other. Mike, I thought it was pretty top-heavy. It was Bama, Georgia, Georgia-Bama, and, of course, 2019, LSU had that unbelievable team. But you didn't have, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams that you felt like on any Saturday, if things went well, depending on who was healthy, could win. Well, this year it's been like that in the conference. I mean, it's been topsy-turvy, man. And you've seen Arkansas beat Tennessee. You've seen Vandy beat Alabama. You saw Florida beat LSU last week. You know, you saw Kentucky going to Ole Miss and beat Ole Miss. This has been more of a – there's been more carnage, you know, in the league this year than we've had in the last several years. And that's probably going to work against the SEC when those final selections are made. I still think, though, there's more carnage to come, not only in the SEC but outside. I bet you there's at least two outcomes in college football over the next 3 weeks, counting conference championship weekend, that none of us see coming.
What we watched last week, and you watched Georgia, they may be the scariest team that you would have to play. You know why? Carson Beck, he was El Sucko for most of the year. And then all of a sudden, last week, man, that's the guy I thought we'd see to start the season. He was terrific throwing the football. Man, if Carson Beck gets on track, Chris, they got a lot of teams that's not going to want to see Georgia on that schedule.
It was almost like the twilight zone for me, Mike, because I was with Georgia each of the last 2 weeks. I was in Oxford the week before, and then I was in Athens last week. And they looked like two different football teams. He looked like a different quarterback. But I think, to me, the secret sauce for Georgia last week is they played up front offensively as well as they played all year long. They protected him. He had a clean pocket. How many times did you see a lot of guys in his face against a really good and deep Tennessee defensive line? He had time to throw the football. They started a new tackle. Georgia hasn't started. I think they've started several different combos in their offensive line. If they get that type of play up front and give him time to throw the football, I mean, I agree. I think if you brought in 10 coaches from around college football, maybe some current, some former, and you said, all right, give us the four teams in order right now that you at least want to play right now in a football game on a neutral site. I think Georgia's probably one or two. I think Ohio State's up there, probably Oregon, maybe Alabama, but certainly Georgia's in that top one, two, or three, and I agree with you. They're a team, certainly if they can stay healthy, that people are going to want to be part of in December. And hey, think about this. They're probably going to have to go on. Someone's going to play them in that first round at their place. And if they win, then they're probably going to get the 3 seed, the 4 seed at their on the road. They're going to have to go on the road and play maybe an Oregon, a Miami, somebody like that. So one of those teams that get to buy, the reward's probably going to get to play Georgia.
Chris, you close by and have watched what Coach Lay has done at Vanderbilt. And, I mean, that's amazing of how they were able to. Now, last week, they caught the buzzsaw. Now, sometimes you saw and sometimes you catch it. They caught it with South Carolina, who is another hot football team. And I still don't see how LSU beat them. I mean, that was a cluster of events for that to happen. But tell everybody, because LSU plays Vanderbilt this week, the strengths of that team, I mean, they got a guy at quarterback. He's the straw that turns the drink for them. They play aggressive on defense. They run to the football. His specialty is certainly on the defensive side, the football. But this is a relatively young Commodore team other than the secondary.
Yeah, it is. And I think the thing that Clark's done better probably than anything is he's been able to bring key pieces into the team, like a Diego Pavi at quarterback and some other positions. He overhauled that entire program, Mike, strength, conditioning. He brought a new OC to call plays. He's calling defensive plays. And there's a lot of belief there. And they played what I call old school throwback football. They keep the ball away from you, man. It's just hard to get it. And they don't turn it over. They only turn it over 6 times all year in 10 games. So when you're able to be in 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2 all the time and keep the football, you got a quarterback in Pavia who really is like a street brawler, man. You just don't want to get mixed up with that guy. When it's 3rd and short or 4th and short, he's going to figure out a way to get the first down. And they keep the football 8, 9, 10, 11 plays. You don't turn it over. They're sound on defense. I was at the Texas-Vandy game. I saw that game live. And Texas clearly has better personnel. They got better skill people. But I was blown away, Mike, how well Vandy tackled in space. You know, and their ability, you know, in one-on-one situations, you know, being out, you know, when you get out to the boundary and a guy's got speed and some shape, how their defenders were able to get guys on the ground. Now, you know, they haven't done that every game, but most of the games this year, certainly the games that they played the best in, they've been able to do that. You go back to the Alabama game, to the Texas game, they played a hard schedule. They played South Carolina. That Tennessee game in 2 weeks, a lot of Tennessee fans are worked up about the rankings and the ball's not been in right now. Tennessee better worry about Vanderbilt in 2 weeks because that game's in Nashville. I think it's a noon game, 11 a.m. Central Time game. That will be a chance for Clark, Lee, and Vanderbilt to really put a bow on what's been a terrific season there in Nashville.
Chris, when you know, we cover LSU here, but from the outside looking in on what's happened to this team since halftime of the Texas A&M game, because we saw improvement defensively from this team, and then all of a sudden, it was like a cheap suit. I mean, it peeled off you, and I mean fast. And we've seen this team sort of in free fall since the Alabama game. I mean, the only time they was in the game is when they kicked off. Other than that, that was it. I mean, Milrow, when he's going to go in the College Football Hall of Fame, those two games he played against LSU, that would be on the reel for me. And then, you know, you look at Florida. I don't think Florida's very good. What does that tell you about LSU? That LSU moved the football up and down the field. Settle for field goals, not touchdowns. From your perspective, what has happened to this team since that halftime of the Texas A&M game?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it is making, I want to just say big plays, Mike, but decisive plays, key plays, guys on offense and defense. And that's for LSU. You look at all the guys they've had come through there over the last few years, they've had those guys on both sides of the ball. And for whatever reason, they've not been able to do that. And I think the other troubling thing about LSU is when you get to the second half of the season, that's when you start to see what I call quality depth come to the forefront. Kids that have developed and been developed, maybe guys who weren't, you know, frontline players the year before, maybe guys who had not gotten a lot of snaps and they've had to step in for people who got hurt, or you just need to play more players because it's the latter part of the season. And I don't think you've seen enough of those guys step into the forefront. Now, it's damning on a lot of fronts, I think, on the staff, on those players, on their ability to sort of build that depth and be ready to go the second half of the season. Because in the SEC, man, when you get to November and you've been beat on the way you are in that league, it ain't your first 22, Mike, and you know that better than anybody. You know, it's who have you developed or who's sort of stepped in, who's come on. Maybe who's been a guy that you thought wasn't ready that's all of a sudden gotten ready, and I don't think they've had enough of those guys come forward this year as they've gotten in here to the latter part of the season.
Chris, curious your thoughts on if you think that head coach Brian Kelly is that guy to lead this Tiger team back to the promised land. Obviously, fans here reeling right now, very disappointed in a team that looked like they should be making the College Football Playoff this season, but that's now off the table. Can he get things turned around going into next year?
Well, Brian might have won. He might have won too quickly there. His first year, they get to the SEC title game, and of course last year. I mean, I guess damn if you do, damn if you don't. They had the Heisman Trophy winner, but they're not really able to capitalize on that as far as being a playoff type team. But listen, the guy's proven. You know, he won at Notre Dame. He's coached a long time. I think you got to be careful. Especially in the SEC, after three seasons, after two seasons, and I know what happens, to point to a coach and say, well, he's not the guy. You know, we're going to go get somebody else. Well, who are you going to go get? You know, who is that guy? You know, who is more proven than Brian Kelly? And so I would warn, I guess my warning to LSU fans right now is you got a guy who's won at a high level, who understands what it's like to coach, in a fishbowl. He was at Notre Dame. Now he's at LSU. But yes, you also have a right as a fan to say, this ain't it. This is not who we are. This is not our standard. We got to recruit better. Maybe you got to play the portal game a little bit better, the NIL game a little bit better. But certainly improvement next year. And when I mean improvement, being a playoff team, I think will be a very realistic expectation for the Tigers next year. If that's not the case in year four, then, yeah, I think there's some serious soul-searching to do by the LSU administration and Brian and his entire staff. Because it's not like he hadn't made changes. You know, they would spend a lot of money bringing the new defense coordinator this year, like $2.5 million. So they've been invested to do those things and make changes on the staff, but sooner or later it's going to translate onto the field.
Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, everybody in the offseason, every Ole Miss fan, man, this is the year. We got our shot here. And not only to get into the top 12, but to win and because of what they have on the defensive front, which is really good, Chris. Man, I don't remember Ole Miss's front seven, especially what they have with that defensive lineman, as good as what they have right now. For Lane, and you're getting Trey Harris back healthy, this is his opportunity to, for all the guys that want to take a shot at him, to prove that, you know, hey, listen, we belong with the big league guys this year. But it all has to do with what they've got on defense.
No, they've never been, Mike. I don't remember a time that Ole Miss has been this good, this deep up front in their front seven. Certainly their defensive line. But they went out and paid a lot of money in their NIL. And I give them credit. You know, we talk about a payroll of around $13 million this year. And much of that was spent on front seven guys on defense. And you saw that. You saw the value of that against Georgia. They dominated that football game a few weeks ago. Now, after a bye, they got to prove that they can sustain that against a team that I think is dangerous in Florida. You got to play at their place, the Swamp. But, no, he's always scored points. They scored a ton of points since he got there. They've thrown the ball around the park. But the difference is, and he knew it. He told when I was with him last week or 2 weeks ago, he said, I knew that we had to build a team that could beat Georgia because Georgia's the top dog right now. If we're going to do that, we got to get bigger, more powerful, stronger. We got to get pass rushers. You got to be able to bully the bully. And that's what they did 2 weeks ago. We'll see coming up, you know, if they can continue that. But they pitched all their chips in this year. You know, Dart came back for another year. You're right, Trey Harris, who is one of the better receivers in college football. You get him back healthy after missing three games. This will be, to me, a very telling game, Mike, when the Rebels go to Florida. Because if they go in and take care of business and look good again, because that would be about three or four straight games in a row, then I think they become that team in the playoff. Because I think they will get into the playoff that nobody wants to play.
Chris Lowe, ESPN senior college football writers, thank you so much for the time as always, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, guys. Have a great night.
You too, buddy.